Okay? Analogy, when the truth of one scripture is shown to not be repugnant to the truth of what? Another, right? And I suppose that's when Augustine is writing the Harmony of the Four Gospels, right? And there seems to be, you know, discrepancies, you know, two guys cured and one guy cured and the other one, or something, you know? Or before or after, and he has various ways of resolving this, huh? And then allegory is used by Augustine there for what? The three spiritual senses, huh? Okay. Just as also Hugo of St. Victor, right? I'm always attracted to him because of his name, huh? So I was christened Hugo, Hugo Duane.
Oh.
Yeah. And my confirmation name is Victor. My father was Reno Victor Virko, so I thought I didn't take Victor as the... Just as Hugo of St. Victor, under the allegorical sense, also comprehends the what? Anagogical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Laying it down in the third book of his sentences. Laying down in the third book of his sentences only three senses, huh? The historical sense, the allegorical sense, and the tropological, which is another name for the what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. That makes some sense, huh? Because there's something similar about the allegorical and the anagogic, right? You know, the Old Testament and the New Testament signifying the final thing.
Sure.
So you can see why man might put them together, right? Huh? Then you have three to begin with, right? And you can subdivide one of them into two, right? Okay. For these minds that are obsessed with the rule of two or three.
I think that's what St. Thomas does in the Four Little Questions, when he takes up the sense of the scripture and thinks that's how he divides the allegorical and the anagogical, putting them together.
Because the morals, they're more similar. The moral sense is much different, right? Mm-hmm. And in the sense, historical sense, yeah. Now, the third objection was a little more particular. What about the parabolical sense, huh? To the third, therefore, it should be said that the parabolical sense is contained under the what? Sense of the letter.
Mm.
For through vocal sounds is signified something properly and something what? Figuratively, right?
Mm.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned before, I think the best explanation of that is Thomas in the Commentaries in St. Paul, where he says that in figurative speech, right, the meaning of the speaker is not the meaning of his words. But there is a, what, connection of some sort between the meaning of his words and his meaning. Okay. So St. Paul is not lying. Okay. Nor is the sense of the letter the figure, if you have a figure like the metaphor, right? But that which is figure, right? So when I say the Lord is my rock, what's the sense of the letter there? That God really is a rock?
No.
No, it won't make any sense. The real sense is that he's my support, then. I can rest upon him and so on. Okay? That's the sense of the letter. Because that's the sense intended by the speaker, right? It's not the meaning of the word rock, though. Not the meaning of rock that suddenly becomes, you know, have different meaning. Okay. You know, when a metaphor becomes very common, sometimes people think that's the meaning of the word, right? But then if that became the meaning of the word, it wouldn't be a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say, you pig, you ate the whole pie. the metaphor would lose all its force if a meaning of pig now became glutton, right? See? Mm. Glutton is the meaning of the speaker.
Mm.
It's not the meaning of the word pig. Instead of calling you a glutton, you glutton, it's more expressive of my emotions and my annoyance of you to say, you pig, you hate the whole thing. You see? Okay. For when Scripture names the arm of God, right, huh? The sense of the letter is not that in God there is such a bodily part or member, but that which is signified through that member, namely God's power of what? Operating, doing something, yeah. In which it is clear that to the sense of the letter, say Scripture, never can there be anything false. But there would be if you said the sense of the letter and saying God is the arm of God, right? Or saying God is a rock, means that God has an arm or that he's made a rock. And there would be some falsehood there in Scripture. Okay? So that's why I say the you got to be careful about the translation of sensus literalis, huh? You tend to look at the grammar and say, well, literal sense, yeah. But in English, the literal sense seems to exclude the metaphor, right? Okay. So, I thought sense in the letter just to avoid that, huh?
Yeah. This question for you, I don't know exactly how to express it, but when we were talking about how, like, how two people could have two different interpretations, but they could both be true, or whatever is the positive light.
Mm-hmm.
How does that then relate to what? Because one or both of those might even be completely different from maybe what St. Paul had in mind originally in writing, or whatever. So anyhow, somehow it falls into God's authorship.
Well, God is the chief author. Yeah, yeah.
But
God had
what
in mind.
Would be the relate? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's just the answer then.
Yeah.
It's not necessary for a prophet to know all the meanings that God would have.
Yeah.
So like Caiaphas spoke prophecy without knowing it. St. John says he spoke prophecy.
Right, but then the question, that still falls under the literal sense then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's look at the premium here to question two. Now, because the chief aim of this sacred teaching is to treat of the knowledge of God, and not only according as what he is in himself, but also according as he is the, what, beginning of things, huh? And this means the beginning in the sense of what, the maker, the creator, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mover. And the end of them, the purpose of them. And especially insofar as he's the end of the reasonable creature, huh? Now, in the Summa Contra Gentiles, right? The division into books, you want to call it this, divided into four books. The division of the first three books, right? Exactly corresponds to that, right? Because the first book is speaking about God in himself. The second book is speaking about God as the beginning, principium, the maker, right? And some things about the things he has made, right? Then the third book is about God as the end of all things, and then about the divine providence moving things towards this end in general, and his special providence finally with regard to the rational creature, right? Okay. Now, one thing that differs though in the two summas is that in the Summa Contra Gentiles, the fundamental division is between those things can be known about these three by reason as well as by faith, and that's in the first three books, and only by faith in the what, fourth book, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the fourth book is subdivided into the same three. In the first part you talk about what belongs to God in himself that can be known about only through faith, and that's the Trinity. And then, and what he has made, right, only by faith can be known, and that's the incarnation mainly, right? And then the final state of man, right, his goal, his end,